Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, July 5th, 2016. A senior SPLA-IO official is calling on President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar to address the nation about rampant insecurity.
South Sudanese must see them addressing the population of South Sudan and the world together on podium. For example, in Juba here, the two should visit all the states. This will help.
And a police officer is gunned down in Tombora County, causing panic among residents.
There was a fear, which was by that time, because Tombora, you know, the city of Tombora, especially Tombora town, the capital of that region, has been in peace for quite long. There has not been any kind of gunshot or this kind of things happening.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudanese human rights activists say the government must address serious human rights violations that occurred during the two-year conflict. The activists say the abuse includes forced eviction of civilians from their houses, arbitrary arrest of journalists, and disappearance and killings by unknown gunmen. As Nabil Biagio reports for VOA from Juba, the right defenders say the government must fully implement the August peace deal and punish perpetrators of crime.
At a forum organized yesterday by the South Sudan Human Rights Commission in Juba, a broad cross-section of participants discussed wide-ranging human rights abuses during the conflict in South Sudan, including gender-based violence. Njol Justiniak, acting chairperson of South Sudan's Human Rights Commission, says government officials were invited to the discussion because government security and military personnel are the primary suspects in a vast array of alleged human rights violations committed across the country.
We know during the conflict, the denial of basic civil liberties was heightened in the state of Juba and other states that were controlled by the government. And we have seen in areas where the war was being conducted, gross violations that are unprecedented in South Sudan history.
Yak says the conflict that erupted in December 2013 was the result of the government restricting political and civil rights of citizens.
The war itself did break out because of denial of basic civil rights to begin with. And so if we have to stop that from happening and stop a recurrence to that again, then we have to ensure that rights are guaranteed.
Pakata Charles is coordinator for the Human Rights Defenders Network in South Sudan. He says he and his colleagues have documented untold abuses committed against unarmed civilians that began in Juba and quickly spread into Upper Nile and other parts of the country.
Human rights violations have occurred in a very unwarranted manner. It is in rather unmanageable that the South Sudanese people can cause such atrocities to their own people.
President Salva Kiir's legal advisor, Lawrence Kobandi, acknowledges the government must do more to support the work of civil society activists and human rights watchdogs in South Sudan.
In some countries, and I'm advocating for this, government should empower civil society to do good jobs by giving them money, allocating budgets for civil society.
And Kobandi admits there are some individuals in government who are hostile to human rights defenders and journalists. But he says the president is committed to protecting human rights and civil rights.
Maybe individuals are looking at your advices and your opinions, honest opinions, as opposition. Some individuals, but as a government, we look at these opinions as tools that improve our image as a government.
Government officials, human rights defenders, and civil society activists at the forum agreed to continue talking to each other about the status of human rights in South Sudan and to find solutions that all parties can work toward as a team to address human rights abuses. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio.
Community leaders in Tumbura County of Budua State are calling for calm after a police officer was shot dead over the weekend. A traditional chief and the Tumbura County Acting Commissioner have launched an investigation into the weekend gunfire. Gift Friday has more for VOA from Yambio.
Residents say unidentified gunmen attacked Tumbura Market over the weekend with an intention to loot traders' goods. Tumbura County's Acting Commissioner, Tomo Thomas, says military intelligence officers patrolling the area shot and killed Undo Metio, who worked for the Tumbura Police Criminal Investigation Unit. Thomas says Metio was mistaken for being one of the attackers after failing to respond to the police unit's call to identify himself. Thomas says a military officer who shot Metio turned himself to his unit and is being detained at Tumbura Police Station. Thomas says unidentified gunmen shot at the SPLA barracks in Tumbura on Sunday. Thomas is calling on residents of Tumbura to remain calm since the police that shot Meteo voluntarily surrendered to authorities. Thomas says the officer will face charges in court. He says after their meeting last night, people returned to their homes and slept well. The head of traditional authority in Tumbura County, Boribamu Babe, says the shooting caused panic among residents.
There was a fear, which was by that time, because Tumbura, you know, the city of Tumbura, especially Tumbura town, the capital of that region, has been in peace for quite long. There has not been any kind of gunshot or this kind of things happening.
The paramount chief blames criminals for the shootings.
Tumbura has a peaceful area. We have got so many criminals who are practicing bad practice in Wau and many places in Ezo and other areas, you know, all what has been happening. Those who have no safe zone in where they have been practicing their issue, they normally go back and take refugee in Tumbura, of which sometimes it is difficult for us as authority to know who they are or what they have been doing.
Local leaders say up until last week, Tumbura was the most peaceful area in Budwe State. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Yambio.
Meanwhile, military officials are calling on supporters of the SPLMIO to remain calm following a separate incident in which a senior SPLMIO military intelligence officer was killed over the weekend. SPLMIO senior military commander says President Salva Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar should do more to calm tension between the South Sudan Army and the SPLMIO. As Bonifacio Taban reports for VOA from Juba, the South Sudan Army spokesman says his office will meet members of the SPLAIO to discuss a security situation in Juba.
SPLAIO military intelligence officer Lieutenant Colonel George Gismala was shot dead in Juba Kator area on Saturday. The circumstance under which he was shot remain unclear. Gismala was a captain and served as a military intelligence officer before joining the SPLAIO following the outbreak of violence in Juba in late 2013. Lieutenant General James Kwangchul, who represents the SPLAIO on the Joint Military Ceasefire Commission, accused the South Sudan Army of targeting Gismala.
The SPLA, they have accepted that weren't doing the killing in Juba. They must take their people to the court. Yeah, they have to apprehend them. And they charge them as a criminal so that they take this country to zero. And we will follow the case. The case cannot be left like that. We must make sure that those culprits are arrested.
South Sudan Army spokesperson Brigadier General Lu Raikong neither admit nor deny the accusation that his force killed Gismala. He confirmed that officials from the Joint Military Ceasefire Commission will meet to discuss the killing.
There is a meeting tomorrow between the parties to the agreement, those who are on JMCC. So the issues that we have heard in the 7 days are going to be addressed. So let me not make any comments.
General Kwang called on South Sudanese citizens to respect the law and remain calm.
What I can say to tell my people in South Sudan, that and especially the people of the IO supporters, to remain calm, and let the law take its place. And for the SPLA, please, you have to apprehend your criminal who are making killing daily so that we take this country back to where it was.
General Kwang said that the two major partners in the transitional government of national unity will investigate the incident.
What we need is only the coming few days, we are going to establish the investigation. I'm sure they will help us on this because they have already identified and they said with themselves that they have already apprehended three and they are looking for the rest.
SPLA-IO Deputy Chief of General Staff for Moral Orientation, General Martin Kenyi, accused government force of trying to eliminate the armed opposition force from the Greater Equatoria region. He said both President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar should do more to curb tension and build trust between the two camps.
The South Sudanese must see them addressing the population of South Sudan and the world together on podium. For example, in Juba here. The two should visit all the states, all the 10 states, to see them moving together.
According to the term of the August peace agreement, Juba Town was supposed to be demilitarized and all government troops stationed 25 miles outside Juba Town. The SPLA-IO blamed the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission of not doing enough to assess and declare the number of government soldiers in Juba Town. The government force and the SPLA-IO have yet to form joint security force to patrol the capital as required by August peace agreement. For VOA News, I'm Boniface Yetaban, reporting from Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, what do South Sudanese think about the government cancelling celebrations for the Independence Day? That story is coming up.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
What advice would you give to a young parent?
For a young parent, he should find out how he can sustain the wife and the baby at the moment. Like, he should not sit idle by just waiting or for the mother of the child to be the one to run up and down.
We should focus on our family because there are so many other factors that will derail our attention from our family. We should have friends, yes, but the friends we should make is the friend that help us to build this family.
I would advise a young parent to, like, they don't know anything about being a parent, visit friends or even ask their own parents how to parent a child, the things to do when they are crying, when they are misbehaving.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. Today we are talking about AIDS. The International AIDS Conference is only a few weeks away in Durban, South Africa. Perhaps the greatest achievement in the fight against HIV/AIDS is that it's no longer a death sentence. Instead, it can be a chronic, manageable disease if people get treatment. VOA's Carol Pearson has more.
People undergo HIV testing for a number of reasons. It's a simple test, and they can know their results in just 5 minutes. A man who identifies himself only as Rigo says he encourages all Latinos to get tested.
It is important because no one knows what is going on with their partner or ex-partner.
Maria arrives for testing with a pretty toddler named Zoe.
For me, it's very important to do an HIV test because we take care of our family and friends. Because if you don't know, how would you know if you're infecting a loved one?
HIV/AIDS is both treatable and preventable. People who have the virus can live normal lives as long as they stay on treatment. Treatment can also help those at risk of contracting HIV stay HIV negative. In most segments of U.S. society, AIDS transmission rates are declining, according to Dr. Tom Frieden, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Frieden spoke to VOA via Skype.
We've seen huge decreases in heterosexual transmission, more than two-thirds, 80% reductions generally. We've seen huge decreases in injection drug use as a cause of transmission. But among young men who have sex with men, we've seen increases in HIV infection.
The groups in the United States that are most at risk are Hispanics and African Americans. Rodney McCoy counsels both groups at Nova Salud.
Women of childbearing age and young black gay and bisexual men seem to be most at risk for HIV and for new cases of HIV infection. And then when we look at who progresses from HIV onto AIDS, again, blacks and Latinos are most at risk for that.
Nova Salud helps people remain HIV free, or if they're HIV positive, it helps them get into treatment and learn more about the virus. That way they can remain healthy and their partners avoid contracting it. Sometimes it's hard to persuade people to get tested so they know their status. McCoy says Nova Salud takes a different approach.
The first thing we do is we acknowledge that there is stigma.
McCoy says one way to get around this issue of stigma is to make HIV testing routine.
If you go to the doctor to get your blood work for cholesterol, for high blood pressure, why not start including HIV and STDs?
The goal everywhere is to get to the point where 90% of those with HIV know it, and that 90% of those who are positive get treatment, and finally, that the virus is reduced to undetectable levels in 90% of those in treatment. The theory is that this will end the AIDS epidemic as a global public health threat by 2030. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
The International Organization for Migration, or IOM, is in talks to merge with the United Nations and become the UN's official agency on immigration. But as Ayen Buell reports, there's a long way to go before the merger becomes a reality.
As it stands right now, the IOM is a permanent observer to the United Nations. That means that the only role the migration agency has with the UN is that it lends its voice on matters that affect global migration. Although the IOM can influence UN strategy and global protocol on migration issues, the IOM is not in a decision-making position of power at the UN. IOM member states want to change that, and a unanimous vote to join the UN by IOM member states last week has brought them one step closer. Ashley McLaughlin, the IOM spokesperson in South Sudan, says this will put the IOM in a better position to help more migrants.
It became apparent to the UN and sort of a global community that having a dedicated migration agency with a larger voice at the table was really critical to improving our response on migration issues.
If the agreement is approved by the UN General Assembly, it will be signed on September 19th. But McLaughlin says several steps must occur before that happens. IOM Director William Swing has to send a copy of the resolution and a draft agreement to the UN Secretary General. Then the UN Secretary General has to approach the President of the UN's General Assembly with a proposal to get a date on the calendar. And finally, the General Assembly must approve the agreement. Both the IOM and the UN are still considering how such a merger will impact IOM funding. The IOM receives money from all of its 165 member states, but that may have to change if the General Assembly approves the merger later this year. McLaughlin says the proposed merger will affect the funding mechanisms of the IOM for South Sudan and other countries.
So we work directly with donor countries to gain funding for our operations in the country. Many UN agencies have a core funding system, which IOM doesn't. Whether or not this will come into play is still unclear and will be decided through the details that are being discussed between the Director General of IOM, the UN Secretary General, and the General Assembly.
McLaughlin says this decision will come at a time when the IOM and UN agencies are reporting the highest numbers of displacement on record.
More people than ever in our history are on the move. One in every seven people in the world is now a migrant. And many of these are forced migrants and refugees fleeing conflict, such as in South Sudan, persecution, poverty, climate change, and on and on.
The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees was created in 1950 to help millions of European refugees after the Second World War and continues its work to help refugees today. McLaughlin says the plan is to help bolster the work of UN agencies like the High Commissioner for Refugees in their mandate to provide assistance during the global migration crisis.
Our ability to maintain our operational efficiency will come from our related organization status, which will be able to maintain a little bit more autonomy in how things are done. Of course, with any change, there's always concerns of the unknown and what will to come, but we see this as nothing but strengthening the global migration agenda and our ability to speak up for the most vulnerable.
IOM was granted permanent observer status to the United Nations General Assembly in 1992, and a cooperative agreement between the IOM and the United Nations was signed 4 years later. McLaughlin says the close history between the IOM and the UN should make for a smooth merger should the resolution be approved later this year. It's unclear whether the full UN General Assembly will approve the merger, but the IOM fully supports the move. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
The South Sudan government announced last month that the country is too broke to finance a government-sponsored celebration of the country's fifth independence. Government spokesman Michael Makuei said the government is cutting down on unnecessary expenses due to the country's economic crisis. We ask residents in Juba and Yambio about how they will celebrate the fifth independence anniversary.
The celebration of the fifth Independence Day will not be a day of happiness to me, because since South Sudan got its independence, there is no total peace in the country. Though the government had signed peace, but still, the citizens and the future educated generation are dying, and refugees in most of the neighboring countries.
This independence, I might not celebrate it because I've not celebrated any of the previous ones, because most of the times I wasn't in the country. Yeah, I was outside. Which made it kind of hard to celebrate it, because I've not been here previously, so I don't know if they're going to celebrate or not.
I think celebration this year, I don't think it's going to be like previous years, because as you see, the economic crisis, and the government has no budget to make this celebration. So I don't think this celebration will be, even people are in war, okay? People are not happy, because war is in Malacca, they are in war, so people are not happy. So I don't think they will celebrate it.
I will not feel good to celebrate the next Independence Day due to the current situation in South Sudan. So I'm not really happy due to what is taking place, especially in Wau. Other people are leaving their house, they are somewhere suffering.
So I'm very, very happy about our Independence Day. Of course, it is the day when we got our, on 9th July is when we got our independence. So, but the way I'm going to celebrate it, I don't think this year we shall celebrate the independence, because a lot of things have happened. The prices of things are high in the market, as people are seeing it even, and I'm also seeing it.
So according to me, the way I'm going to celebrate my Independence Day, I don't think I will go on buying new things or designing myself, because I know currently things are very expensive nowadays compared to that one of previous year. And I don't think I will muchly cost my money that I want to design myself or decorate things for independence.
The independence, as usual, I used to celebrate from the house. I don't go to the museum because it's crowded. And then what is important is peace. The peace that is signed, and then we hope gradually things will stabilize.
This is the fifth year. At the fifth year, we are unable to celebrate our Independence Day. It takes me back to the first year, whereby the celebration, everybody broke into tears. But now it is like, you know, losing its meaning. It is like losing its meaning. But I believe that one day, one time, we shall celebrate it well again and again.
I don't think I'm going to celebrate it well, because we cannot see the blood of our brothers being shedded down. You can see more than 30 people dying, and we celebrate. What are we celebrating? I think this time around we have to be just at home on Independence Day. Just we pray for them, for their souls, and we pray for peace that day.
I personally, I'll be celebrating it with my family together in our garden, harvesting our crops for a reason that this year things at the market are very expensive. So instead of me just loitering around the town, I'll better go to the garden to cultivate, harvest whatever I planted.
We are not going to celebrate this year independent because the government has said that there is no money, there is no budget for the celebration of this Independence Day. So we are not happy about that. And also the situation is telling us that we should not do this.
This fifth Independence Day, it is very unfortunate that I am going to celebrate it when we have not realized a total peace in South Sudan. Some states are still in insecurity and most of our people are in a displaced location and in refugees camp, but God is great.
These are voices of some residents in Juba and Yambio talking about how they will celebrate South Sudan's fifth independence on July 9 this week. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. South Sudanese human rights activists say the government must track down and arrest killers, rapists, and other abusers of human rights during the country's two-year conflict. The abuse includes killings by unknown gunmen, the burning of villages, arbitrary arrests of journalists, and forced evictions of unarmed civilians. Rights defenders say the government is failing to fully implement the August peace deal. At a forum organized yesterday by the South Sudan Human Rights Commission in Juba, activists, government officials, and others talked about wide-ranging human rights abuses that took place during the conflict. Joel Justin Yock, the acting commissioner, chairperson of the commission, says government officials were invited because security and military personnel are the primary suspects in a vast array of human rights violations that were committed across the country. Tambora County leaders in Budoue State are calling for calm after a police officer was shot and killed over the weekend. A traditional chief and a Tambora County official have launched an investigation into the violence. Local leaders say unidentified gunmen attacked Tambora Market on Saturday evening with an intention of looting traders' goods. The Tambora County acting commissioner says that same evening, military intelligence officers on patrol accidentally killed police officer Undu Matthew of the Tambora Police Criminal Investigation Unit. Matthew was dressed in civilian clothes and carrying a gun. Thomas says unidentified gunmen shot the Esplay Barracks in Tambora in apparent retaliation for Matthew's death. And finally, military officials are calling on supporters of the SPLM-IO to remain calm after a senior SPLM-IO military intelligence officer was killed over the weekend. That's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Mawazo by Diamond. We've been listening to Diamond with the song Mawazo. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being here. Tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Na